This is the Best of the Adam Gold Show podcast, brought to you by Coach Pete at Capital Financial Advisory Group. Visit us at capitalfinancialusa.com. This is the Adam Gold Show.
We got friends of the program, Ryan McGee and Marty Smith, on ESPN right now, doing the Ocho.
Yeah. On not
the on eighth. The Ocho. You know what it is? Yeah. I know exactly what happened here.
What happened?
August is a little screwed up this year. Mm-hmm. Okay. I happen to know this because I go on a vacation every year the third week in August.
Okay.
So you would think this is the first week in August.
It's not.
My vacation would be not next week, but the week after that, right?
Mm-hmm.
But August started on a Monday.
Okay.
So that made it a little bit weird where it feels like it's the first week in August, but it's already August 5th now, right? Like there's basically four more Sundays left in August. I think I have this right. So like they wanted the first Friday in August to be like August 9th or 10th. And then they could have the Ocho during the first week of August. Basically, what I'm saying is starting next week, they've got actual football programming ready to go. The Ocho is their last day of silly stuff. And the way the calendar worked out, August 8th fell in what is like the second week of August, right? And they're not going to be doing silly stuff next week. They're going to be doing real deal football next week.
Yes, because we have preseason games on Thursday,
exactly.
The 11th.
So we got
therefore we can't do the Ocho on the 8th, which is a Monday.
So we
got to prep.
This is the only way the 8th could be the second Monday in August is if August starts on a 1st.
Okay.
Makes sense?
Right.
So like they didn't want to
every August starts on the 1st.
The 2nd starts on a Monday. Sorry. Sometimes August starts on the 3rd. You know what I'm talking about.
That's fair.
August started on a Monday. The second Monday is too late for ESPN to do silly stuff. By the second Monday in August, it needs to be full football. So we got to get the Ocho in now. But it does seem weird because it's not the Ocho. It's August 5th. It's ridiculous. Speaking of ridiculous, we could have some fun sound. Like, do you want play-by-play from the NFL game last night? Is that what you want?
Yeah, I do.
Or do you want a weatherman shrieking with delight when he realizes he actually has a touchscreen that works?
Yeah, I do.
Well, we'll give it all to you in the Wall of Sound.
The Wall of Sound is a function of this studio. There's no doubt about it.
All right. First up on the Wall of Sound. We don't care about the game last night. Or do we?
Do
we need to hear field goal? All right. We have to officially recognize that a football game was played last night. Here's the first points of the NFL season. Congratulations.
Last couple of years. And it's field goal from 32 yards. First points of the season. So, good start.
Woo! Football's back. It's a field goal. We scored points. All right, moving on. Actual funny stuff from training camp. Is Von Miller complaining about bad toilet paper at training camp? And of course, the fans are here to oblige. They can't have Von Miller with a dry itch. You know what? I'm not even going to go there. Let's let Von Miller do it.
I remember the last time I was over here, I said something about the toilet paper. And 4 days later, like, I got all types of toilet paper just in the mail and wipes and plant-free wipes from all types of fans and box. Like I just put him in the locker room. Like, it was great. I wasn't trying to complain about it. I was just saying like my experience being in the dorms, like 33, you know, and then you come in and like it's just so many different things that are different. And you know, I just said like, hey, the toilet paper's different, and like boom, like boxes on boxes on boxes of toilet paper and wipes and stuff, and everybody's just trying to make my stay here a whole lot easier, man. I just want to say publicly, man, I appreciate all of you guys, and I'm grateful.
I don't want to dwell on the subject, Dennis Cox, but I will say I am at a point in my life where I appreciate good toilet paper.
Oh, yeah.
It's not that I need good toilet paper. I just need the absence of bad toilet paper.
That's fair.
We can't have bad toilet paper. My mom randomly, for some reason, who's older than I am, sticks with some bad, cheap toilet paper. Mm. And I'm not sure what's up with that.
I don't.
But yes.
No, I don't need tissue paper.
In my life, I'm at a point where I'm willing to admit, yes, you need at least two plies, if not three, four, five, or six. How many plies can we get in there?
Eight.
12 ply?
Eight.
Let's do it. Next up, and this was just funny. It has nothing to do with sports, although we could tie it in because there was a weather delay at the Hall of Fame game last
Perfectly
night, right?
Fits.
We needed the weather guy from ABC7 in Chicago. And yes, this is a video clip, but I think it's one of those things that actually translates to audio. I don't know how better to explain this then. My man had the screen behind him that he was pointing things out, and he accidentally taps the screen, and the screen starts reacting. And, like, he didn't realize he had an interactive touch screen that he could move or zoom on, and he and his colleagues figured it out live on air. Listen to how excited and happy these guys sound.
Right now, kind of hung up just a little bit. Ooh, I moved the map. I didn't know I could do that. No way.
That?
I gotta try it.
Yeah. Hold on.
Can you believe that? Just touch it. You can go anywhere you want.
That's so cool.
I did not. Can I zoom? Oh, man. It's a great day. It's a great day. It's a beautiful start this morning. Our temperatures are warming up nicely this afternoon, but we're still going to... I've never touched it before. Oh, my God. You can tilt it?
You're so tickled.
Tilt it?
All right, anyway, I'm going to figure this all out. A beautiful day in the next couple of days. Roz, we're going to go out to you while I figure out this new...
They remind me of, I mentioned at my beach week a week ago, I was hanging out with my 3-year-old niece.
Okay.
Super cute, great kid. But one of the best parts about it is anything to her is, she reacts to almost anything in the way that that weather person reacted to the touchscreen. Like, oh my God, this is the craziest thing I've ever seen. So I'm trying to keep her busy, and I'm feeling very lazy. Like, a lot of times I don't mind breaking out a game or trying to do a magic trick or whatever. But I'm just sitting there being like, I don't really feel like doing anything. How can I entertain this kid? So I got my phone on me, right? I'm too lazy to even, like, open up and throw some apps or videos at her. I'm like, hey, watch this. And we got the time on my phone. I'm like, what number is that? That's a 7 at the end there, 207. It's going to turn to 8. Watch this. And I would sit there and point at it and be like, here it comes. Here it comes. Here it comes. And the number minute on my phone would change from 207. There it goes, 208. And she'd watch it happen in real time. She'd be, oh my gosh. She, I mean, as if I were like controlling it, and she just thought it was awesome. It just, you know, makes your heart melt to see someone blown away by something that's so simple that you take for granted. So that's what I felt like watching these weather people discover for the first time that their map was interactive. And then when they touched it, they could actually move it or zoom or whatever it might be. And next up on the Wall of Sound, Bryson DeChambeau is part of a group that is suing the PGA Tour. They want to be allowed to play on the LIV Tour and the PGA Tour at the same time, even though they kind of said the reason they were leaving the PGA Tour is because they didn't want to play as many events, but now they want to play more events. I don't know. Bryson DeChambeau compared the PGA Tour to a monopoly and made an attempt at comparing the two tours to a pizza shop. I don't know. This is what it sounded like.
You have a pizza shop that's been in existence for 50 years, and all the customers go to, and it's a great product. All of a sudden, a new pizza shop opens up, right? And they start paying the customers to come eat at their place. And that pizza is potentially a little bit better of a pizza, right? And then all of a sudden, that original pizza house goes, if you go over there, we're banning you from ever coming back to our, you know, pizza shop. What's wrong with that economic model?
That does seem short-sighted.
Yeah.
Particularly if you have been the only pizza shop in town, if you've had a monopoly.
Correct.
That's probably not allowed.
But I'm still, like, a very basic point of this metaphor is that the golfers should be employees of the pizza shop, not customers. Like, the whole thing breaks down there. There's a lot wrong with that. Paying the customers, and again, like, I thought Bryson DeChambeau was being like, well, it'd be like if you worked at a pizza shop and it was the only pizza shop in town, mm-hmm. and then another pizza shop opened up and they were paying double the wages. Like, I'm not sure I totally agree, but at least that fits closer to the metaphor of what's actually happening here, right?
Employee as opposed to, we had to buy pizza here, but they're going to pay us to eat pizza over here. Like, no, you were being paid
in
both places.
And as an employee, I think there are a lot of rules in place that would keep you from, you know, working for a pizza place at lunch and then working at a different pizza place at dinner. They may say, like, nah, we don't really want you, maybe take, you know, basically we don't want you working at two pizza places.
For example, us working in sports radio, I can't work for this company during the daytime, then at night host a show in this market at night on a completely different network, completely different station.
Yeah.
I can't do that.
You can't go work for somebody else. Yes. Yeah. I mean, you could you might be able to have a podcast, but even then you might have to check against the rules for what your employment are, right? If you're getting compensated for it, you might be
is it competing against a product that we have
of your employer. Yeah. So like that doesn't seem like it's that crazy to me. Even if you're a freelance worker, which these guys kind of technically are. I don't know the exact details.
Sort of, but not.
But even still, if you're freelancing for the New York Times, they may say, hey, while you're writing for us, we're not going to let you write for the Washington Post as well, right, Collins, mm-hmm. you know, or whatever. You're going to make those terms when you start them. So I don't know. I don't know enough of the details. I feel like people are throwing around the term monopoly a lot very quickly without actually just knowing what it is. But definitely, the golfers are not customers of the PGA Tour and the LIV Tour. Like, that's the part where the metaphor breaks down right out of the gate for me. So, Bryson DeChambeau, definitely one of those dudes who, before he was, like, the muscle guy, he was the brain guy. Like, he was the dude that was like, I'm outthinking everyone. And the more and more he talks, the further away he comes from being seen as the brain guy. That is the Wall of Sound.
Adam Gold here from my man, Coach Pete DeRuiter with the Capital Financial Advisory Group. We are talking retirement. All right, Coach, simple. When do we start tax planning in retirement?
We should start as soon as possible, because here's one thing, Adam. Taxes are not going away.
Right.
And so the game here is we know the rules. A lot of people want to ignore the rules or act like they don't are familiar with them, but the IRS knows the rules. And so when we get to retirement, they're going to reach in and start taking some of their money out of your accounts. So the secret here is to put a force field around as much as possible by strategically moving some of our money to Roth IRA or some of the other vehicles that aren't taxed, like special life insurance policies. You can borrow against your money there and never have to pay tax on your money that you build up inside your cash value. So there are a lot of strategies here. The one strategy that does not work is ignoring it. So let's make sure to not ignore it. The next 10 people will do for you your very own tax and retirement plan that'll help you minimize taxation all the way through retirement.
800-661-7383. All you got is call, or you can text Adam to 21000 for Coach Pete DeRuiter.
Hey, it's Permar filling in, and this has become one of my favorite parts of filling in for the show. Not because of Randy Slack or Jeremy Green, because it means it's 2:15 on Friday and when I'm almost done and out for the week. No, I'm kidding! Because I've really gotten in, really enjoyed getting to know these two dudes that I've never met, but now I've done a roundtable with three or four times, maybe. Joining us from the mountains, from the coast,
Camelot.
We got one of each on the roundtable. Is that what this is? Production? That's what's happening.
Yes, this is a professional broadcast. We have production.
I realized that happened. From Asheville, ESPN Asheville. He's the ESPN draft nerd on Twitter. It is Jeremy Green. What's going on, Jeremy?
Oh, sitting here waiting for the what looks like apocalyptic rain that's about to hit here in Asheville.
That's the first warning, because the storms normally come like west to east. So I guess we'll be getting some storms in like 4 or 5 hours where I'm sitting. And then down on the coast, I don't know if he's funny because I've never seen him perform live. I'm going to bet he is. But I know that he knows funny people. We're going to talk to him about it. Randy Slack, ESPN Wilmington. What's going on, man?
Unlike Jeremy in the mountains, it's just hot and humid here, and it's just going to be like that forever, because that's my lot in life in Southeast North Carolina.
That's a lot of North Carolina. That's not exclusive view in Southeast. I can't remember what day it was. I think it was like one of the first weeks in July. I was here, Dennis, and I was like, folks, you don't need to tune in to any more weather reports for the next 2 months, because I got it for you. It is mid-90s, real feel just above 100, chance of showers in the afternoon, mostly sunny, partly cloudy, and then tomorrow it's going to be the exact same. I want to start with you, Randy. I've picked up through social media that you do some stand-up comedy shows, and obviously you don't just talk sports, you talk some comedy, and you recently had a guy that you interviewed that I've become a big fan of, and I don't even know how to say his last name. I read it, but is it Bargatz? Bargatze? How do you say his last name?
Nate Bargatze.
Bargatze. Yeah. I've watched a couple of his specials, but I realized, like, I don't hear – you rarely hear the comedian say their own name, right? Sure. But Nate Bargatze, what was he like talking to him in person?
He was really cool. It was fun because the last time I talked to him, I was a producer of a show in Pittsburgh, and I just had to tell him to wait in the green room for an hour. So to interview him was really neat. He's doing a show in Wilmington tomorrow night at the Outdoor Amphitheater, which holds 7,000 people. And if you've seen his stuff on Netflix, he has a story about a place down here, the Cape Fear Serpentarium, that it was on his first 30-minute special on Netflix. He follows up on his first hour. And to talk to him about a story that became such a big part of his comedy career that happened here in Wilmington was really, really cool, and kind of talking about the genesis of how another comic told him, hey, you got to check this place out. And it was weirder than he even could have imagined. So it was pretty, that was pretty fun.
Very cool. If you're in the area, check out Neighbor Gotzi in Wilmington. Jeremy, have you ever met any stand-up comics, or do you do any stand-up comedy?
So I do stand-up.
There we go.
I have for, that's actually how I got the job here. We had Bert Kreischer on in April.
Did he have a shirt off?
And, and I'm going to be honest with you. He is the coolest human I have ever met in person. Mm-hmm. But he is a hugger. He is a put his arm around you to take a picture kind of guy.
Sure.
While shirtless.
Yeah.
And I'm not much of a touchy-feely person.
Right.
I don't care how famous you are. When your arm goes around me and you're shirtless, it's weird. Yeah. It's weird, and it will always be weird.
People that are overly touchy, I'm the same way. I'm not super touchy, but I've been in settings where I'm used to people who are more touchy, so I guess I can adapt to that situation. But now you can't be both. You can't be signature shirtless and signature touchy guy. You got to pick one or the other. But yeah, Bert Kreischer, good guy. I feel like Dennis Cox. Do you know Bert Kreischer, the stand-up comedian?
Oh yeah.
I was like, you kind of resemble him a little bit.
Yeah, slightly overweight, kind of hairy beard. Absolutely.
Am I doing the thing?
And really hilarious and loves to hug people? Yes.
Am I doing the thing where just because you have a beard that that you all look alike? Is that what I'm
pretty
doing?
Pretty much. Right. Oh, he's a little
Can
overweight.
I be really honest? Does any comedian not look like that? I feel like we're all slightly overweight, little facial hair, and, just – We're all funny. That's the only thing that we have.
And he just capitalized on it by going shirtless. He just one-upped all you guys. Cox, I need you to do
we did a swimsuit calendar of just comedians, who would actually be in it?
Comedians?
There's none of us are attractive people.
Comedians versus sports radio hosts. That'd be an interesting, see who could sell more more calendars of themselves. I don't know about you guys. I look good in some Patagonia shorts, some bathing shorts. Come on, man. Go ahead.
Oh, go ahead.
No.
I have a quick little comedy sports thing here, that just because we're talking about comedians. In Pittsburgh, when I worked at the WDVE, we would bring in comics all the time, and we did a lot of stuff with the Steelers as the flagship station. And our co-host, Bill Crawford, was on the phone with Bill Burr, and they were talking about how the Steelers would have won the AFC Championship game if the Patriots didn't cheat. They're arguing, and while they're arguing, former Pittsburgh Steeler Brett Kiesel is coming up to Crawford. And Crawford goes, Burr, hey, you think your guys didn't cheat? Talk to this guy. He puts Brett Kiesel on the phone, an actual Steeler with a Patriots fan. They argue on the phone. The next day, Bill Burr is texting my co-host just blocks and blocks of text about, I can't believe you ambushed me. You did this. And this guy, he was a bum. And it was just classic Bill Burr stuff.
I liked
intense.
It. I love elements, whether it's a musician or a comedian. When when they come to do these interviews, obviously they're promoting their show. They're trying to be funny, so they're probably playing out some material. They got a couple jokes planned. But when you actually get to see them act as sports fans, it's kind of funny. They just become regular Joes, mad about that the call didn't go their way or whatever, that the sports radio host doesn't agree with their opinion, and they it becomes funny to see them in that element as well. Since we're sharing stories, I don't even know what I got. I guess the best is one time the Sklar brothers came to Raleigh, and they were shooting a pilot, and they needed somebody to find them moonshine from Johnson County, and I was like, boys, I got you. And I think it was a sports radio listener. I can't even remember who it was, but we found somebody to hook him up with some moonshine. All right, let's talk some sports. I'm going to keep it real simple. We had NFL football last night. We got an NFL team in this state. Are they good or do they stink? Jeremy Green, Panthers.
The defense is good. I do love this narrative that every quarterback in alternating days has looked good because they're playing against the twos. You can look at that a couple different ways. Baker looks good one day, Sam Darnold looks good one day. you're going against the twos. Neither one of them have looked good against the ones. Now, you can say that means the offense is not very good, or you can go glass half full and say that means that the defense is going to be really good,
yeah.
Which I fully believe. I think this team will be good defensively. It's more a question of can you avoid doing what Baker Mayfield does and doing what Sam Darnold does, which is turn the ball over yeah. at the absolute most inopportune time humanly possible. And that's what will dictate the answer to that question.
I feel like I'm doing this McLaughlin group style, but I'm going to keep it up. Randy Slack, Panthers, good or stink? Go.
Remember when the Tampa Bay Buccaneers had Jameis Winston and they went like 8-8 and then they got Tom Brady and then they won the Super Bowl?
Yeah.
They were a good team just with a really crappy quarterback and then they got the best ever. The Panthers are going to be the wish version of that. They're going to go from a team that wins 5 games to a team that wins 7 or 8. And I think they're going to be a lot more interesting this year. But I don't think they're good. But honestly, to cheap out on this, I don't think they're going to be bad either.
Is it just a matter of the quarterback? Like if you could drop it, I mean, I don't want to say Tom Brady or Aaron Rodgers. I'm trying to think of somebody who's like mildly better. Like that we all – like who's the – like Tannehill. Like, if you dropped in Tannehill on this team, are you thinking playoffs?
Well, I think it's not just the quarterback. The offensive line was upgraded this offseason as well. And the line went through so many changes. I think the quarterback got a bit of a raw deal in all the failures of last year's team. The line did them no favors. I think you're better on the offensive line, and you're kind of better at – well, not kind of. I think you're definitely better at quarterback. I think this team can win 7 games, and they're in a lot more of them than they were last year.
The question that will continue to be asked, Jeremy Green, who is going to play quarterback? It's probably going to be Baker Mayfield, I guess, will be the starter on week one. But do you have any signs as to why that's definitely going to be the case or not be the case? And then what do you do with whoever starts if they throw 2 picks and you're down 10 at the first half of the first game? Are you changing quarterbacks or does the starting quarterback got to be your quarterback for the first, whatever, 3 games regardless of what happens?
We started this talking about stand-ups, so I'm going to make a comparison.
All right.
I feel like Baker Mayfield is the Carlos Mencia of NFL quarterbacks.
He's got a great
reputation, and I'm not sure he actually did anything to deserve it. I don't get the love on him of how he's so much better than Darnold and how this is going to be so drastically different. In the last 3 years, no quarterback has been worse in the NFL than Baker Mayfield, rating, no matter what metric you want to use. So I don't see that as better than Darnold. I have been on record as saying I think Sam Darnold will start more games this year than Baker Mayfield. Baker will be the starter week one. When Cleveland comes in, that's who's going to start. I just don't think it's going to go the way everybody thinks. Now, in terms of how much leash do you give whoever wins this? To me, it's not much because I don't see much difference between the two.
Yeah. That's what I worry about is that you just keep ping-ponging back and forth when one guy might have a good 2-game stretch, but as soon as one guy has a weak stretch, you think, well, let's see what the other guy's doing. And then it just – you'd almost be better off only having one of them and just being stuck of having to follow them regardless.
McAdoo has a quick hook too, if you remember, because he's the one that actually benched Eli Manning.
Interesting. There's probably more NFL talk to be had, but I don't feel like talking it. So you guys can do that on your own shows. It's August. Don't try and take my summer away from me. College football. I got a scenario for you. Some people think that UNC and NC State could meet in the ACC title game. Not likely, but it could happen. Some people think that App State might beat UNC in week one or whatever. It's UNC's second game, but the week one. And that ECU might upset NC State. So I ask you in a long, convoluted, not very good sports radio question, which is more likely to happen, Randy Slack? UNC and NC State meeting in the ACC championship or both of them losing to their in-state rivals in that early season game?
Which one's more likely? Man, that's a tough one. I guess that they meet in the ACC championship game. I don't think ECU's very good.
Okay.
And NC State, from everything I hear from everybody, is supposed to be really good this year. So we'll see what happens.
Do you give App and chance at all over UNC?
I think so. I mean, Carolina has been, they're a team that, they have a lot of sizzle. I don't know how much stake they have, and we'll see what happens with them this year. But I don't know. Well, that game's probably closer than the ECU State game.
Yeah, that's a fair assessment. And again, both of these are probably in the unlikely to happen, right? UNC and State meeting in the AC Championship, not likely to happen, but also not likely that both State and UNC lose. My question for you, Jeremy, I know you're a Mountains guy, and this is more of an Eastern North Carolina question, but am I crazy for – like, I get everything. I get on paper, State's better. State's got all the returning guys. But there is something about the history of teams in this state, or even big teams in general, not in this state, Virginia Tech, West Virginia, South Carolina, whoever, when you think you've got the better team and you go down to ECU and they are just fired up, you are their Super Bowl. They don't care about UTEP in November or whatever they're going to be playing in Conference USA. They care about State in September. Is it crazy to think the most cliche thing ever in sports, throw out the records, but you always have to be scared of the Pirates when they have a chance to basically, take a, I don't know the best way to describe it, just put in another big win that they can hang on their wall?
So I'm gonna answer this question in a bit of a long-winded fashion. Mike Houston actually taught me how to shoot a free throw when I was in the sixth grade. He was one of my coaches for many years at T.C. Robertson High School up here in Asheville. I've known him since I think I was 11 years old when I met him. We're still friends to this day. I believe in him probably more than I even believe in myself. He is as good of a coach as there is in America that nobody talks about.
Interesting.
So I look at – maybe I'm biased – but I look at – I heard Randy say ECU's not very good. I'm going to disagree with you. Okay. I think they are good. They're one of my favorite over bets in college football. I think their win total's at 5.5, if I remember correctly. And I'm overweight on that. Let's put it that way. And I've watched NC State let me down every time I've ever believed in them. And I do believe in them.
So
I will say ECU has a better chance to beat NC State than any of the things you just said.
That's sort of where I sit. We're like, there's no logical reason. I'm not telling you that I've analyzed things. I don't even have Jeremy's reason to pick because of his belief in the coach and the cultures he's creating. It's more of just like, I don't know, feel like I've seen this before. I'm not picking ECU for the upset, but I'm certainly not putting it as a win column for NC State just yet. All right, final thing for you guys. Again, the summer is still here. Football started, but we are still vacation season in North Carolina. Since you guys occupy different parts of the states, I need a little help from you. Earlier this week, I discussed my North Carolina beach week and some etiquette that clearly some folks did not know. Maybe they were from Ohio or whatever, and they were down on my North Carolina beach, and they didn't know the unwritten rules. And I had to be like the catcher for the Atlanta Braves, describe, hey, that's an unwritten rule of baseball. I had to be that guy. I didn't really, but I felt like I needed to. Question for you guys. What is the unwritten rule or piece of etiquette that we should all be mindful of if we are visiting your area? Randy, for a beach piece of etiquette. Jeremy, a piece of etiquette for vacationing in the mountains. Randy, we'll start with you down at the beach.
If you dig a hole, cover it up.
That's fair.
We got sea turtles down here. And just not only that, it's just rude. If you're going to – look, I don't care if you want to bury your uncle or if, you want to dig a pit to make a really cool sandcastle and a moat around it. Just cover it up when you're done. That's the least you can do. You dig the hole, cover it up. It's super easy. If you don't mind real quick, though, I do have a question for Jeremy here.
Yes.
I was just in Asheville for the first time last weekend, and when I was in Asheville, everybody looked like they were from Asheville. Everybody looked like some sort of mountainy Portland hippie guy. And I just wonder, because here in Wilmington, not everybody looks like a surfer. We have people that are retirees. We also have people that look like Marines. So we have a few variations of people here in Wilmington. Why does everyone in Asheville, like a dude at a, we went to brunch and a guy had a canister with baby flying squirrels in it. How did you guys all decide to come up with one aesthetic that you all were going to adopt?
So I don't know how much either of you know about how I look, but I look very Asheville as well. I have been told I look as though I could be Luke Combs and Zach Galifianakis' love child.
Yes.
We never had a meeting of, hey, we're all going to grow beards and we're all going to wear flip-flops and we're all going to drink beer at 2 o'clock on a Tuesday. It just happened one day. Like, we all just realized beards are cool. So we all grew beards. And then we all grew our hair long. And now many of us have man buns and hacky sacks. And it was never talked about. I just think we all saw it so often that we went, okay, that's the official uniform of Asheville.
Do they give you the brochure when they hand you your like disc golf set? Do they hand you the brochure of how you're supposed to dress too? Is that how it works?
They will actually kick you out of the city if you can't play disc golf. If you're not good at that, they will not let you claim Asheville. And if you drink any domestic light beer, they will also shun you.
Do you have a piece of a mountain vacationing etiquette other than apparently dress like you're from Asheville so that you blend in? You got anything for us up there in the mountains?
Try at least three different breweries before you tell me which one is your favorite.
Okay. That's fair.
And I think I speak for all of Asheville as somebody that's in the process of selling a house. When I say we're full of people, yeah. We have all of the peoples. So visit, please visit. We love when you visit, but in terms of moving here, we're full. I can't get from my office to my house without it taking 15 minutes minimum, and I live 3 miles down the street.
You're not going to get a whole lot of sympathy from Raleigh or Wilmington on that one, I believe. North Carolina is a popular spot right now, and it's because we've got great sports radio stations all over the state. ESPN Asheville, Jeremy Green, ESPN Wilmington, Randy Slack. Fellas, at some point we'll have to actually get together, but for now, we'll just settle for these Friday roundtables. Really appreciate it. Always enjoy it.
Thank you.
Yes, sir.
We'll talk to them soon. Maybe next time I talk to them, we'll talk even more football because we'll be even closer to actual football season. But I talked to a little Panthers there. I asked him a Panthers question. That was fair. I know Jeremy goes all in on the NFL stuff. And then, like I said, I see Randy. Did I say something wrong? Okay, good. I never know. Dennis Cox looks at me and laughs sometimes. I'm worried that I said something.
I was talking to Jeremy.
I'm worried that I said something stupid. Okay, that's good. You can laugh at them. They're funny guys. Yeah. I worry that I said something stupid.
Finding a perfect suit can seem impossible, but finding a suit that's perfect for you is simple with Indochino. Choose your favorite fabric and customize every detail. Then submit your measurements online or get measured in store for a custom made-for-you fit at an incredible price. And with Indochino's fall collection featuring new colors and premium fabrics, you'll be in style all season long. Indochino makes it easy to craft a look that suits you perfectly. Suits start at just $449, and fitted shirts start at just $89. And you can fine-tune every detail, lapels, linings, monograms, and more. Create a personalized wardrobe that doesn't cost a fortune with options like shirts, casual wear, and outerwear. Want to elevate your look? Indochino lets you make any suit a tux. Design your perfect suit today with Indochino. Get $50 off any purchase of $399 or more with promo code FALLUPDATE at Indochino.com. That's Indochino.com. Promo code FALLUPDATE.
It's 2:41 on Friday. If you're still at work, what are you doing? Get out of there.
You should be listening to this driving down the Johnson Highway. Yeah, 540.
The Johnson Automotive Highway, 540. You should be there now. Traffic's backing up on the Johnson Lexus, Johnson Subaru, I-40 East. Now, what are you doing? Unless you're just sucking up some of the office air conditioning so you can not have to pay for it at home. Then I understand. It is officially NFL season. Field goals were kicked last night. Penalties were had. Bad quarterbacks played. The Hall of Fame game is behind us. We are now officially in NFL season, and we have an NFL road trip. It continues today as we roll into Seattle.
All right. Do the obvious things in Seattle. By the way, the cities that we've already have touched on, we've been to Cleveland. We have been to Philadelphia.
Okay, I'll go there.
We've been to East Rutherford, New Jersey.
Sure.
Indianapolis, Tampa, Jacksonville, Glendale, Vegas. I'm
trying to think of how many of these places I've actually been to. About half.
Okay.
Can I tell you my story about not going to Seattle real quick?
Okay.
So 2 years ago, 3 summers ago, if you count this one.
Okay.
2020, my cousin, supposed to get married. Cousin lives on the West Coast. Mm-hmm. She always lived out there. getting married 2020. Pandemic hits, they postpone. Right? Heard of that. Makes sense. 2021 comes around, they're doing the makeup. Delta variant hits, they postpone again.
Of course.
2022, we're back on. Wedding in Seattle. Trying to get her friends and family there. Finally get the friends together. Some of my family is going to go, but my dad died, so they couldn't. So my poor cousin tried 3 years in a row to get her family to come to the wedding. Twice wiped out by a pandemic. Another time by a tragic passing. So I have not yet ever visited Seattle.
I've ported in and out of Seattle. My family, several years ago, we did a cruise to Alaska.
Okay.
And that's where we ported, was out of Seattle.
I thought you flew in and flew out. And I was like, did you just say you ported for flying in? But if you got on a boat, that's fair. Totally acceptable.
I use proper terminology. No.
I was like, I've never heard of somebody saying they ported there just because they were at the airport. But like I said.
Yeah.
You did. That's...
Well...
You boated.
If you fly into SeaTac, yes.
That counts.
So, do the obvious things while you're there. You know, yesterday we talked about Vegas, do the obvious stuff, like go walk down the strip, make a sports bet, get married, do all the obvious things. Do the obvious stuff in Seattle, like go to the Space Needle.
Space Needle.
Drink Starbucks. Get rained on. Listen to Nirvana.
You gotta go watch
Pearl
that,
Jam.
Go to that market where they throw the fish.
Yes, exactly. The
gotta
fish
go see
market.
Throw the fish.
Just catch them. You know, all that good stuff. But after you do all those things, directly next to the Space Needle, you can go to Chihuly's. I think I said that right.
Okay.
Chihuly Glass and Garden, or Garden and Glass. They have some really cool architecture and some other cool things to do inside there. But also...
Garden and Glass, sounds like it could be the name of another store in Washington. Just saying.
I vetted it. It's not that.
Garden and Glass?
It's not that.
All right.
But also, you want to see some fish, go to the Seattle Aquarium. You're right there on the Puget Sound. Yet there has to be a good aquarium there. If your aquarium stinks and you're on the water, sorry.
Well, do you know there's an aquarium there?
There is.
Oh, and you're just saying it has to be good.
Yeah, it has to be
good. Okay, yeah. Yes. Okay, I agree.
Yeah, it has to be good. But also something to check out as well, the Museum of Pop Culture. There's a Museum of Pop Culture. They have film festivals, live music at times, various exhibits. It's a nonprofit as well, so you're definitely helping support some people while you're there. So I would definitely check out the Museum of Pop Culture, or MoPop, as they call it.
Can you give an example of something that would be an exhibit at the Museum of Pop Culture?
For example, they have the Seattle Film Festival takes place there.
Yeah, but that's an event that takes place. Yeah. Like, if I just walk in on an average day, what am I going to see at the pop culture? Would it be like that Arby's sign that just got taken down on Hillsborough Street in Raleigh? Would that be the type of thing that would end up at a pop culture museum?
I hope so.
I'm not even trying to be funny. I'm trying to figure out. Or is it like Michael Jackson's notes for when he wrote Billie Jean? Like, is it that type of, I'm trying to figure out what would fit at a pop culture museum.
So there, for example, right now they have an indie game revolution, the sound lab, guitar gallery, some other things that are going on currently at this moment.
Okay.
So there's just a bunch of different random stuff.
Well, I have an important question for you. Do they have any donuts in Seattle?
Oh, dude.
Or do we have to go to a Starbucks?
Oh, no. We'll get to donuts.
Okay, all right,
in a moment.
My bad.
Don't jump the gun on me.
I was trying to be conversational.
This is my thing. No.
I was trying to make it flow.
I will get to the donuts.
Not work like bullet point.
I will get to the donuts.
I was trying to flow to the donuts.
No. You just tried to jump to the donuts. You tried to go from like, hey, what pop culture thing? Where are the donuts? That's exactly what you did.
I was flowing.
You know, you got to earn those donuts, Hayes. You can walk around to earn those donuts on the 12 miles of trail at Discovery Park.
Okay.
Which is 534 acres right on the Puget Sound in Seattle.
I don't know if I'm going to feel like eating a donut after a 12-mile walk. I'm going to be honest.
No, you earned the donut.
Yeah, but I'm not going to want it then.
Well, that's on you.
All right.
Also, before you go get donuts, much like Las Vegas, check out the Seattle Pinball Museum.
No.
Yeah, I'm dead serious. There's a Seattle Pinball Museum just like there was in Las Vegas.
All right. No, that's it on Pinball Museums.
I'm going to be
listening in and checking with Gold.
No.
For the rest of the NFL City Tour.
They're Pinball Museums.
Pinball Museums are off. As much as it excites my man Oren Day,
we're not going to
any more pinball museums. We've been to two already. I don't need any more.
We're going, Hayes.
Wait, can you not find a comic book museum?
Oh, there are comic book museums.
I'm saying, then why are you having to go back to the pinball
one? Because there's one in Vegas, and our next stop is Seattle, and they both have pinball museums.
All right.
I mean, I could definitely find a comic book shop in every one of these locations if I wanted to.
I know. I'm just surprised that you're going out of your way to work pinball in and not your own nerdy niche, you know, hobby thing.
I love pinball.
Like you're working in. So you're a pinball guy.
I love pinball. Pinball's fun. Right. I enjoy pinball very much. I like playing the Spider-Man pinball at Boxcar.
Whatever, Tommy. All right.
Whatever.
Then we
have to go to. Now you want donuts? Is that what you want?
Oh yeah,
now?
I still want donuts.
Of course. Now you want donuts?
No, I'm past donuts. I want to know who we're drawing for Monday's.
No.
Yeah, that's right.
We already drew for Monday.
I want to draw for
it's
Tuesday.
Detroit.
Oh yeah, Monday's Detroit. When do we draw for Tuesday?
We're gonna draw it here after I tell you about Raised Donuts. That's right, Raised Donuts.
Raised.
Locally owned. The woman, her name, I can't remember her name off the top of my head now, if I forgot it, but she apparently gets in at 2 a.m. to start making donuts for the day. And when she sells out, she sells out. That's it.
Those are the best types of restaurants. When you can say, like, look, this is all we got. Mm-hmm. Come and get it.
Exactly.
Prime Barbecue does that. Bee's Barbecue does that down in Greenville. Like, this is what we're serving. It's what we got. When it's gone, it's gone. It's on you. Show up sooner.
Baker's our donuts. Donuts does that.
There we go.
So, yeah, Monday we're going to be going to Detroit. And I have my only thing this Dunkin' Donuts coffee cup is good for is holding the other names of these cities.
Okay.
So next on Tuesday.
Can't wait to hit the pinball museum in Detroit on Monday.
I'm going to find a pinball museum. Got the Rams, so we're going to Los Angeles.
Okay. See, I won't be here Tuesday, but I could do. I've got friends in L.A. I've been to L.A.
Okay. I can actually figure out where exactly in L.A., like what part of L.A.
Yeah, are they in Anaheim or something?
No, it's not in Anaheim. I want to say it's actually up more towards Burbank.
Like, are the Chargers near the Rams? The Rams play in the Coliseum,
exact same stadium.
They both do?
They play in the exact same stadium.
All right.
SoFi Stadium.
I thought
it's actually in Inglewood, California.
There we go.
So we actually will be going to Inglewood, California.
Wait, are the Rams still in L.A.? I thought they went to the Big Ten.
Yes.
The Rams left and went to the Big Ten. I thought
I
had that right. All right. That is the NFL City Tour for the day, Seattle. Monday will be Detroit. Tuesday will be
Inglewood.
Always up to no good. With the few minutes we have remaining, we have just enough time to decide if things are overrated, underrated, or properly, rightly rated. This is the Friday edition of Rightly Rated.
I think we've been overrated. I think they've been underrated.
First up, Golden Corral. Is Golden Corral overrated, underrated, or rightly rated? This comes up because Golden Corral, I don't know if you knew this, took a little bit of a hit during the pandemic. Buffets?
Yeah.
Not so hot.
Mm-mm.
And again, part of this was when we still like thought maybe we were getting it from the buffet, and it's not, but it was kind of like being around people. So the extra time in line, you know, waiting for your food. Buffets took a little bit of a hit. Although I will say, as I cruise around Eastern North Carolina, buffets are back in some means. But Golden Corral is diversifying a little bit.
Oh, okay.
Not just going to be big buffets. They're going to do fast casual and an upscale steakhouse.
Oh.
Would you eat at a place called a GC Grill, Dennis Cox?
Yes.
Would you go get a fine steak from the GC Grill?
Is there an E
buffet
on the end of grill?
That's
much
good
like Shopee, do we get E
that's
on
good
the
question
end of grill?
It's the GC Grill House, actually.
Oh, there you go. Even better.
I don't think there is an E on the end.
Oh, that's
overrated, underrated, or rightly rated? Golden Corral.
I'm going to go rightly rated.
They used to be rightly rated to maybe a little underrated. Mm-hmm. The thing about it is, Golden Corral, like, I don't need your GC Grill House because then you're going to give me one steak, and if it's not good, I'm still probably paying the full price. The best part about the buffet, you think what you want in a buffet is the diversity of options,
mm-hmm.
but in reality, now this is definitely 22-year-old Hayes speaking, the reality is not that you can get 100 different things, it's that you can get 100 of the same thing.
Yep.
So I can go out there and say, give me a piece of steak, give me some fried shrimp, and give me 14 yeast rolls. And when I get back, if I bite into that steak and it's not good, I just leave it and go back and give me another piece of steak. Let's try again.
Or if it is good, you finish it.
Yeah.
And you go back and get another piece.
One out of three pieces of steak coming off there are fine. They're pretty good.
Yeah.
Fried shrimp is fried shrimp, and the yeast rolls are dank.
Yeah.
And honestly, Golden Corral always did a pretty good job of having the salad bar pretty fresh. And so, like, I know it's a little weird because you're going in there and it kind of feels like feeding from a trough. It is just a lot of food, right? And a lot of people in those people, right? Like a lot of person at the people, including me. I'm talking about myself here. Eating a lot of food, but it is fresh on the salad bar. Golden Corral, still slightly underrated. Next up, Dude Perfect. Is Dude Perfect overrated, underrated, or rightly rated? You mentioned this earlier about, we mentioned the Omaha production is going to do some second screen stuff for some college football games.
Dude Perfect's doing Amazon.
Oh, did you talk about this already
earlier
on the show?
This week, yeah, I did.
Well, I wasn't listening then. So we'll do it rightly. Is Dude Perfect overrated, underrated, or rightly rated? The internationally renowned Masters of the Impossible will deliver an unprecedented and rollicking Thursday night football experience that the entire family can enjoy together. Passionate NFL fans and the king of viral sports, the dudes are setting out to raise the stake with off-the-wall challenges, good-spirited ribbing, and life-changing dares rooted in on-the-field action. Dude Perfect, overrated, underrated, or rightly rated?
I'd say rightly rated.
It'd be hard to say they're underrated with their 58 million subscribers. I'm a little surprised, though. A lot of, like, things, they easily could have been fit in the box of, like, remember Dude Perfect? Remember that one year when we were watching their videos and they all made, like, a quick million and then they were gone? Like, they capitalized on their brand. I've never seen their live shows, but I've had friends who, like, take their kids. Because that was always the thing, too. It's like, well, if you stand here a million times.
They've come here to hate the PNC.
Oh, yeah. So I'm saying, but, like, if you stand and film and you go one for 100 on this crazy shot, but you film it and you only put the one that you made on there, it's going to look cool. But when you got to do a live show, like, you got to perform. So yeah. I respect the Dude Perfect dudes in that they have become, like, a standing thing. Their brand is strong. And it feels like a little bit of how an old head like me and a young person can appreciate the same sport watching it differently, right? Like, yeah. I feel like this will be the thing that helps a 10-year-old get into a sport in the way that, like, the way I watched it might not be. So I'm all about Dude Perfect bringing people in. Give me some more second screen experience. Dude Perfect, I'm going rightly rated.
Rightly rated.
And finally, and rightly rated, Oreos. I mentioned this earlier. The pumpkin spice Oreo is back. It took 2 years off, but August 15th, it's coming out. Oreos, overrated, underrated, or rightly rated?
Oreos are great, rightly rated.
Yes. But
get that out of here. Overrated.
Like anything else, it's just a little bit too early. And I don't need a pumpkin spice Oreo anyway. Just a good classic Oreo. But it's a marketing thing. Congratulations.
This is the Adam Gold Show.